to the Fundraising Freedom Podcast with Mary Valone. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and this is the place where aspiring six and seven-figure fundraisers come to be encouraged, empowered, and educated on how to raise more funds and have more freedom. Welcome to episode 110. Today, we're talking about the seven steps to sustainability. And isn't sustainability what we all want, right? Like, we don't want to keep having to go back to the same well and keep going back and having to recruit more and more volunteers, recruit more donors. If we didn't have to keep doing that over and over again, we could spend more time on our mission and more time on making our events and our fundraisers and the things that we do so much more successful, because we don't have to keep worrying about how to recruit more people. And this is what every single nonprofit wants, right? It's what every business wants. It's what every organization wants. I mean, we all want to have some sense of sustainability and some sense of certainty when it comes to the funds that are coming in and towards, you know, just understanding what's consistent, what's normal for us. And so today we're going to talk about sustainability and really the seven steps to it. And if you've listened to any of my previous webinars, my previous trainings that I've done, this will not be a new seven-step process to you. It will be something that you have heard. It's not my seven steps to fundraising freedom, but this is the seven steps that I teach as far as the journey that you want to take your donor on. And I often refer to it as the donor's journey. I don't believe that that's coined anywhere, so I'm just going to take it, right? So the donor journey, we want to take people on a process and on a system, and it just helps us to understand why people even give to the work that we're doing. And I get this question asked of me so frequently. And the question is, why is it so hard to get people to fund our cause? Why is it so hard? Why does it feel like we have to work so hard? And if you notice, there's some charities, there's some organizations that it feels like it comes so easy to them. And it just feels like people are just flooding them with donations. And then there's other organizations where you feel like, man, it is just so difficult. And the reason why some of this is happening is because some of these organizations have figured out the donor's journey and others haven't. Okay. So today I'm going to teach you the donor's journey and I'm going to teach you how to use this and implement it today in your cause. So I want you to be able to just jump right in, figure out why people are connecting with you and why they're not. And then what can you do to really modify this to make sure that it works for you and more dollars are starting to come in. Okay. So the seven-step process is know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer. Okay. And this is something that I have memorized. I've heard it so many times from other people as they talk about the buyer's journey. But this is something that you should just be able to memorize. Know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer. Okay. So number one, let's talk about what it means to actually start this process. Okay. So the first part of the process is that people first have to know who you are. They have to know that your cause even exists. And I know so many of you are dealing with this. People just don't even know that you exist. You have such an incredible cause. You're doing great work. There's no reason why people shouldn't be funding this. It's just that they don't even know that you exist. And so we have to put ourselves out there. We have to be in a position where people start to say, oh, I've heard of your cause. I've heard of the work that you guys are doing. And knowing you is half the battle, right? So just being able to get yourself out there more often. And I know that we get strapped with administrative duties and fundraising and mission duties, that sometimes it's hard to get ourselves out there more. And so this is where I want you to start to kind of automate things. I want you to figure out ways that you can go present your cause to different groups of people in different formats, but to get it on your calendar so that you start to just educate people about who you are and what you guys do. And so when I talk about in my seven-step process about, I want you to focus your vision, that's the first part of what I teach you guys. And focus your vision is all about being able to speak it so clearly, to have such clarity about what you do that people are like, oh, Yeah, duh. I get it. I totally understand what you do. But if people can't even comprehend, they can't even understand the work that you do, they aren't really going to ever know you. So if you keep talking about your message over and over and you're like, these are family members, these are friends, they should know who we are. They should know what we do. Well, there's a good chance that you might not be telling the story all that well. And so you have to go back and really think through, what are we saying? What are we telling people? And start talking to people and ask them, what are you hearing when I say this? When we say our message, what does that mean to you? And so when they start to hear that more and more, they'll be able to tell you that, yeah, it's a little bit confusing. Do you help kids? Do you help adults? Are you inner city? Are you in the suburbs? Like, I really don't even know what you guys, you know, like what kinds of people do you help? And what usually happens is that you probably help a lot of people. So when you start to, you know, broaden your scope and you start looking at, oh my gosh, we have a lot of programs. We have a lot of services, we help a lot of people. Well, that's where people start to get confused. And so if you can hone in on one particular part of your message, just to start with, it's kind of like that introductory conversation that you have with somebody that just gives them an overview of what you do. That'll help you to really be able to share your story better. And then once you get to know somebody, you can start to dig into some of those deeper, you know, more elaborate kinds of conversations. You can focus in on some of the other projects and services you do. But it's because they care about it. It's because they asked questions and they wanted to know. Think about how you first got acclimated to the cause that you work with. Some of you are founders. I understand that. So you were the one that created this organization. But for others of you that are employees of an organization, you started to hear about the cause in smaller doses. Nobody dumped all the knowledge that you know today about your cause on you at once. Think about it. When you first got to know the cause, let's just think about like if you applied for your job, what you did was you went online and you just started to try and understand what it was about this cause so that you could even interview for the position. So you were just like trying to get yourself in a position where you're like, I know enough about this cause in order to speak intelligently about it and to not like put my foot in my mouth about it. You know, and so if you have, I know I work with a lot of ministries and missionaries, and so sometimes that's your sending organization or the organization that it was like, hey, you affiliate yourself with. And those organizations, you started to understand that you're like, I like what they do. I like what they stand for. And you might not have, you didn't know all the details about the organization. You just knew enough to say, wow, I really like what they're doing. I'd like to be a part of it. And that's all you need to know in this know section here. So when you're talking to other people and they don't know who you are, just take it easy on them. You know, it's like that, the minimal viable product. You know, what is the minimum amount that somebody needs to know in order for them to like really understand like, hey, this is a good thing. You guys are doing good things. And they can start to lean in a little bit more into what it is that you do. Okay, so step one is know. They need to know you. And then the second step is that they need to like you. And just because somebody knows that you exist does not mean that they like you. And I know that that sounds bad because it's like, especially if you're a people pleaser, you think everybody should like us. Everybody should like the work that we do. It doesn't even make sense that people wouldn't like what we're doing. But just think about your image and the branding that you have. You're going to appeal to a certain population of people. And, you know, you might be more intellectual. You might be less intellectual. You might be kind of look at your cause and you're like, yeah, we're kind of nerdy. You know, we tend to attract in, you know, people who are college educated and they understand the details of what we're doing. And it's kind of an elite group of people. You might start to see that, you know, that it's like, hey, we're not for everybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are not for everybody. And you don't want to be for everybody because the thing is that you're helping a specific population of people and there's going to be a specific population of people who want to fund that. So not everybody's going to get it. And this is where I want you to know that just because somebody knows and likes you as a person does not mean that they're going to know and like your cause. And those are two completely different things and that's not a bad thing. They can still like you, they can still know you, but they don't need to know and like your cause. cause. So what we're trying to do here is we're really identifying the people who are going to know and like our specific organization and our cause, and it's because they're attracted to what we do. And, you know, I think about my background, you know, with the nonprofits that I've worked with. I mean, there was a certain population of people who are attracted to Special Olympics. When I was there, I mean, we were focused on athletics. We were focused on individuals with disabilities. We were focused on, mental disabilities, families who had kids or families who knew people, school systems that had students that were in their system that affiliated and had an affinity towards the work that we were doing, special education classes and, you know, paras and teachers. We tended to gravitate towards that population of people. And it was awesome. I mean, I loved it because we were always going out and talking into the schools. We were going and talking to different groups of people who are attracted to that population of people. So they liked us and we liked them because we had the same passion and the same mission to help that population of people. So think about it for you. When people like you, it's usually because it's part of their mission too. There's something about what you're doing that fulfills the mission that they already have. And so you're a good fit. And I often say that's a win-win, okay? So we want to make sure that we connect with people, that they know us and they like us. And then the third thing is that they trust us. They can know us, they can like us, but they could kind of look at us and say, I'm not sure if you're going to be around in a couple years. I'm not sure if you guys are doing the right things with your money. And so that's what's going to hold them back from getting to the next step of this process. So we want to make sure that they trust us. And the way that you gain trust, think about your family members, think about your friends. The way that you trust somebody else is that you show up. You're reliable. You have the ability to do what you say you're going to do. If you make these grandiose promises and you don't follow through with them, people are immediately going to say, I just don't trust them. I'm not sure if they're going to do what they say they're going to do, you know? And they start just kind of putting that little bit of doubt comes in and it creeps in. And that's what stops people from giving to your cause. This is probably the number one thing that'll hold people back is that they're like, I just don't know if they're going to do it. And, you know, yeah, this person's passionate, but you know what? They jump from one thing to the next. And I'm not sure if this is going to stick. You know, I can see with organizations that maybe you started up a nonprofit because you lost a child or you had something that happened. Maybe it was a health issue that affected you. And maybe it's like, hey, this thing just was so big and it was so overwhelming that it kind of took over your world. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to go and do this thing. And some people might look at you and say, oh, this is a phase. This is just a phase that they're going through. And yeah, they lost that person. And I'm not sure if they're going to stick with this for the long haul. And so this is where you have to continue to show up. You have to continue to start to keep just beating that drum about the work that you're doing. I mean, I'm sure people, when I started my business, I'm sure that they said, yeah, okay, we'll see what Mary's doing. And we'll see how long she sticks to this, you know, because in the nonprofit space, it would have been so easy for me just to fall back into, I'll just go get another development director position. That would have been an easy out because let's be honest, it's hard work to do what we do, right? It's hard work to work for a nonprofit. It's hard work to start up a business or an organization. And sometimes people are like, are they going to stick it out? I mean, it's really, really tough. And so this is where time is obviously our friend. The longer we do what we do, the more likely people are going to start to say, okay, they're not going anywhere, and they start to trust what you're doing. But you're also having to show them, you know, when somebody comes on board and they volunteer and they start getting plugged in, they have to trust that you're going to take care of them. I know some of you are in locations that are like, you know, that there's a safety issue when it comes to the work that you do, whether that's working with, you know, homelessness or working in, urban settings where people may feel like it's a little bit dangerous to work in the area. Maybe you're in a different country, a different part of the world where people just don't really understand the population of people that you work with. And so they might already have judged and they don't know if they could actually go out of their way and show up. You know, they don't know if they could physically come to your location. And so if they trust you, they will actually move on to this next step, which the next step is number four, is they're going to try you. This is kind of like the Jimmy Dean sausage rule. You'll hear this online quite a bit. People use this as an example, is that when you go to like a Sam's Club or a Costco or something like that, the grocery store, and they have samples that are sitting out and, you know, Jimmy Dean sausage, whatever, you're going to try the item that they have as a sample. And if you like it, you're going to go through these processes. Now you know that this sausage exists. You say, this is really good. You trust that, hey, this is a good product. You know, the grocery store sells it. I understand the brand. I've seen it before. I've seen commercials. You start to recap all the times that you've seen that product, or maybe not. And then you're like, hey, I'm going to try this out. And that's when you move on to the next step, which is you're going to actually buy it. But just think about trying out your cause. And a lot of people will ask me, what does it mean to try a cause? Okay, it can mean a lot of different things. So think about your organization. Think about your cause. How can somebody start to get to know you in a better way and they can try you out? Some of you actually have a building that somebody can physically walk through the building and see the work that you're doing. So they can come out, come check out your facility, come meet with you on site. That's a great thing to do, a walkthrough of the facility. Some of you don't have a building at all, okay? Some of you live remotely. And so to try you might be to come visit you, to come out to your location, to do a walkthrough, to come see the community that you live in. One of my past clients, they do work in Eastern Tennessee, and I didn't really understand the poverty that happened in that community. I mean, they live there, so they know what they're dealing with, and they're always trying to tell the story of what the population of people really, you know, what they're dealing with. What are the, you know, drugs and alcohol and incarceration and all of these things that are happening in that community. But it's so hard for somebody to really grasp until they actually get in a car with you and drive through the community. And that was life transformational for me. I'll be honest, I was broken by the time I walked out of that place, and I was only there for a few days, and I didn't stay in any, you know, I mean, I stayed there at their home, and it was amazing just to be able to experience what they experienced, and just in such a small dose. Like, I was not doing what they were doing, but just to see it, I walked through the school, I saw their, you know, just where people were living and how their houses were built, saw how the community was set up, and I just felt the darkness. I felt the heaviness of the community. And as soon as we crossed over from Tennessee into North Carolina, I even said to her, I was like, this is the weirdest thing. I was like, does it feel brighter over here? And she's like, yeah. Yeah, tell me about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, because it really felt like there was such a darkness that hung over this community that they were working in. And you can't get that in just pictures and graphics. You know, so having somebody come out and try what you're doing, I think that that's just really important for you to do that. And really, when it comes back to this, this might even be that they come to an event, maybe they come as a guest of somebody else to one of your fundraisers, they meet you for lunch, they have a conversation with you. This is all part of the try process, okay? So it doesn't have to be something as big as traveling, flying out to your location. It's just that they get an idea of you. And so you don't even have to physically be in the same location. You might be able to catch them on a video conference call, catch over the phone, have a conversation with somebody, and that's all part of the try process, okay? Let's jump into step number five. Step number five is give. So we have gone through the know, like, trust, try. Now that they've tried you out, now they start to be like, you know what? I feel like I can actually commit to making a contribution to this organization, to this individual. This is where people will give their money. They will give their time. They will give their resources. So once somebody starts to feel like, okay, I know you, I like you, I trust you, I tried you out, I can tell that you guys are good people, you're going to do what you say, and then this is where I can finally say, you know what, I feel good about making this donation and giving. And when somebody gives to you, usually they're going to give that first gift. And this is why I I like fundraising events. This is why I like smaller gatherings of people. It's because they can give something small. They can feel like they're starting to invest in the work that you're doing. So those smaller gifts are kind of that introduction in. And they don't have to, you don't have to have a small gift as your first one in, but that's usually what happens with most people, is that they're like, yeah, I'll give $10. Oh, I'll buy that little thing that they had at an event. You know, when I was at the American Cancer Study, they were selling these Luminaria bags, and it was really a way just to honor or remember somebody who had fought cancer. And that $10 gift was a great just first way that somebody could give to the organization and say, yeah, I'd love to honor somebody in this way. Here's $10. But once somebody starts to engage, that's when you as an organization, as an individual, have to start to move them through the process. Now that first gift has happened, and we can't miss out on this opportunity to show them that they can trust you with their gifts. So this is where we give receipts. This is where we send thank you cards. This is where we follow up and we say, wow, thank you so much for being a part of this. We appreciate you guys so much for doing the work that you're doing. This is where we have to show them that they can trust us with their dollars, trust us with those volunteer hours and with the products and service that they give to your cause. You have to show them we used it in the right way. We did what we said we were going to do, okay? So I know I say that all the time. We do what we said that we were going to do, but I think that that's just so important for building trust with somebody. You know, think about your spouse or a loved one. When they show up for you, whether that's birthdays or anniversaries or, you know, buying, you know, even going out and just being together, spending time together, all that builds trust with that person. And that makes you just so much more invested in the work that you do together. And that just makes people want to give over and over and over again, which is where we get to step six, which is repeat. We want them to give to our organization and we want them to repeat the process. This is where, for those of you who are asking for monthly contributions to your organization, this is why it's so hard to get a repeat customer, a repeat donor, is because you're asking them to do this over and over and over again. And maybe you're asking them to make their first gift as a repeat gift. And that is a very hard ask to make because you're telling people, I want you to trust me with your first gift. And I want you to trust me enough to give that gift over and over and over again, and potentially for the rest of your life. That's why it is hard to ask for that monthly contribution. Although I believe personally that asking for a monthly gift is the most sustainable gift that you can ask for, because there is a 90% and above chance that they will stay with you for a very, very long time. And potentially, like I said, for the rest of their life. Who wouldn't want to get a gift that stays with you for the rest of your life, that's automated, that they're like, they just give over and over and over again. And every time they give, it's a kind of that touch point to remind them that they're giving to the work that you're doing. So it's a really great gift. But just think about that, how mentally somebody has to be in a position where they know, like, trust, try, and then they give to you, and then they're repeating it over and over and over again. So we're trying really hard as an organization and as an individual to get repeat donations. We want them to give, whether that's monthly or we want them to give annually for a very long time. And that's why with fundraising events and sponsorship dollars and inviting people to give to your cause, you're trying to get them to say, hey, every year we do this. Every month we need ongoing contributions to our cause. So all that that conversation that you're having with them is allowing them to say, well, how do I want to be a part of this? And typically somebody's going to say, hey, like, a monthly contribution is like making payments. It easily rolls right into their budget. And they're like, you know, it's important that we give monthly and we put it in our regular budget. Now that's an ongoing repeat donation that comes in. Some people are like, you know what, we don't have the ability to give on a monthly basis, but we do have a fund, more like a savings account or an investment account. Or if you're working with a business, they have kind of like this pool of money that this is where they give out of. This is where they give their contributions from. So we're trying to tap into that bucket of money. And sometimes most businesses have a marketing budget as well. So that annual donation can either come out of that contribution bucket or it can come out of their marketing dollars, because you're saying, hey, we're going to brand you with our organization. We're going to put your logo on our materials. We're going to put your logo on that t-shirt, and we're going to have your logo with us. So that is a marketing opportunity for them to pull out of that budget. And then you've got the budget where people are like, oh, this is our investment budget. This is the thing that we give larger sums of money out of. And a lot of families that have a lot of money, they tend to have that budget where they're saying, hey, this is where we buy large things. Maybe that's when they buy the kitchen for your building campaign, or the, you know, whatever. Maybe it's that they buy the building. I mean, some people have the ability to write a check to actually physically buy a building, which I know that is mind-boggling for some of you. But the thing is that people have the ability, and there are lots of people out there that can write $100,000 checks, that can write $1 million check. And the thing is that you just may not know them because you don't run with them. So know that there are people that are doing that. I'm going to tell you that right now because I've seen it. I personally experienced watching it happen and being on the other end working with a charity to see that happen. So that repeat customer, that repeat donor that keeps coming back, that volunteer who shows up every single week to volunteer, this is where we get to step six, where we're like, we want them to continue to repeat with us and be with us for a very, very long time. Okay. And then number seven is refer. So we've talked about, we want them to know, like, trust, try, give, repeat. And now we want them to refer. This is where they tell their friends. This is where I often use the example where, you know, you go and eat at a restaurant and you had such a great experience and you keep going back there frequently. You just go there a lot. I'm that way with one of the Chinese restaurants and the pizza place. And, you know, you kind of have your go-to place that you go to for each kind of food that you like. And then eventually you're like, you tell people about, oh my gosh, this food is so amazing. If you guys are going to go somewhere to eat, I would recommend that you go here. So that is the same thing that we're inviting people to do with our causes. As we're saying, we want you to refer our cause to other people. We want you to tell people about your great experience. So if somebody is giving monthly to your organization and they love you, they're giving monthly, they're giving annually, they give those lump sums of money to your projects and to your restricted, you know, gifts, the restricted projects that you have, they're giving to those things and they feel really good about it, right? Like who gives to a cause repeatedly if it doesn't feel good, right? So they feel good about their donation to your organization. Now we want them to start to tell people about it. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble, because we don't tell people how they can talk to other people about us. So we have to, as the leaders of our organization, we have to tell them, here's how you talk about us. And this goes back to step one. We need them to know about us. So what kind of story are you telling them to tell other people? And I've said before that, you know, when it came to my work with the American Cancer Society, I wanted every single volunteer to know our 1-800 number, the free resource to give to somebody who has cancer or a family member who's going through a diagnosis. And I wanted them to know the website for our organization. Obviously, the more that they knew about the mission statement, which as an organization, it was fairly easy. Hey, we're trying to cure cancer. It was just an easy way to say, hey, we help people who are going through cancer. It was just an easy organization to wrap their arms around. But think about simplifying your mission statement. They don't have to know the elaborate verbatim words that make up your mission statement. I want them to just make it, you know, like, hey, we help this population of people. Hey, we get kids off the streets. Hey, we help, you know, help feed the hungry, whatever. Just make it so simple and common sense that people just get it. And then give them a few resources so that they know how to intelligently talk about it. And find out what is the best avenue that you can have those people refer, like, so that maybe you're going to go and speak at this location. Maybe that's what you want them to send them to. Maybe you want them to go to your website and watch a video, or maybe you want them to download some resource that would be a great piece of information for them to have if they ever come across people who are dealing with the same, you know, kind of message that you want to get across, okay? So this process, know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer, is a cycle that just keeps going. So when somebody refers to you, we go right back to the front of the circle, is we go right back to the know. Know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer. And it's just this cycle that just keeps going. And if somebody is a repeat, you know, that they keep giving to your cause, this is what is going to create sustainability for your organization, is that we want to make sure that it's sustainable over and over and over again with every person that we meet. It's not worth our time and our energy if we have so many people that are just coming in and coming out. If you have this revolving door, and I'll be honest with you, this is what our charities are seeing. You know, one person in, one person out, one person in, one person out. And that is not okay for your long-term growth, because you're going to burn yourself out. And that's what we often see, is that people just get so tired, because you can only go back to the well so many times. There's only so many people that you can invite to be a part of it. And once somebody hears about you, they kind of feel like, yeah, I know who they are. But once you can get them past that, they just know who you are, into that they start to like you and they start to trust the work that you're doing. They're trying you out in some way, getting that meeting, getting that conversation, coming to that fundraising event, maybe just as a guest, and then moving through the process into giving, repeating, and referring. So I hope that this is just not super complicated, but I love this process, because think about anything that you buy. Think about any purchase that you've ever made. This is exactly what you've done. You knew about the product, you liked it, it said something about you, it connected with your personal image that you're trying to give out to the world. You know, whether that's, you know, that you're nerdy or sophisticated or that you're elite or that you're, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But there's something about what you wear and what you buy that it says something about you. And the same thing goes with our charities. People align with your cause because it says something about them. And I know oftentimes people will say to me, they're like, I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to waste, you know, I mean, if I'm asking them for their money, then I feel like I'm taking something away from them. But just think about it. Think about it for a second. You're not taking anything from them. You're allowing them to align their belief system with something that they already believe, you know, that they already believe in. They already care about kids. They already care about, you know, senior citizens. They already care about health. You know, so this is just one more way that it aligns them with the brand that they already have. You know, those businesses and those organizations, they're trying to brand themselves. They're trying to put themselves out into the community. And what you're doing is you're saying, hey, we're a good fit with you. And just remember, we don't have to be for everybody. And we don't want to be for everybody. That doesn't make any sense. You cannot assume that every single person you meet is going to get it, because they're not. So I'm just going to tell you that right now. Not everybody's going to understand what you do or why you do it, but there's going to be those people that it just clicks and you're like, yes, we get each other. And you're not taking anything away from them. You're not taking their time. You're not taking their money. You're giving them an opportunity to align with something that they already believe in. And now they know that you are trustworthy and you are an organization that's worth being a part of. And that's when they're going to say yes, and they're going to continue to repeat those gifts over and over again and be a part of the work that you're doing. So, all right, I know that's a lot, but at the same time, just write those things down. Write this down. Know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer. Write it down. I loved it. One of my friends, clients, one of the individuals that I help, I went into her office recently and I saw her know, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer up on her whiteboard. And I was like, yes, because you start thinking about that more and more when you meet somebody. You're like, okay, they already trust us. They've already given a gift. So now we're trying to move them through the process and we're trying to say, okay, they're giving to us, but why are they not giving ongoing? So we've got to ask some questions and find out what is it about it. Or maybe it's just the way that they're set up. Maybe it's the way that they process money or the way that their company has it set up. So it has nothing to do with you. It's not because you did something wrong. It's just because that's just how it is. So it's easier just to kind of step away and not take it personally, because you're like, okay, I get it. This is just the journey that we're on together. So, all right. Well, I appreciate you guys being on today's episode and listening in. Thank you. If this is the first time that you are joining in to the Fundraising Freedom Podcast, I want to invite you to be a part of our Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook. This is a place where nonprofit leaders can gather together and share, ask questions. If you guys have questions about the podcast or about the work that I do, or you just have a question about fundraising, this is a great place for you guys to post those questions and to get feedback from other people who are doing the same thing that you are. So Fundraising Freedom Tribe is on Facebook. So just type in Fundraising Freedom Tribe in the search bar and click to join, and I'll add you in. And I'll, of course, have it in the show notes here as well. And just thank you guys for being in the journey with me. And I love that I get to do this with you guys as well. So if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out. I am just a email away. Okay. So mary@maryvaloney.com. You can always reach me there. And of course, on social media. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys have a great week. Let's go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. Would you like to create a killer 6 or 7 figure signature fundraiser where you have long-term sustainability, less stress, and the freedom to focus on what really matters? Well, Fundraising Freedom Academy may be just what you need. I'm Mary Valoney, and I created an 18-month training program that gives you the clarity and confidence to launch, grow, and scale your signature fundraiser, including weekly coaching calls, masterclass trainings, and easy-to-edit templates to build your signature fundraiser. This was the exact plan I used to net $500,000 with a first-year event. Apply today for the next Fundraising Freedom Academy class at fundraisingfreedomacademy.com. That's fundraisingfreedomacademy.com.